Welcome to the In Touch podcast with Charles Stanley for Wednesday, April 3rd. Are you reluctant to talk with people about Christ? Today, we'll get help finding the courage to push past our hesitations and confidently speak up.
If I should ask you, when is the last time that you personally ever confronted with anybody with the gospel of Jesus Christ, I wonder how many of you could say within the last month, last 6 months, last week, last year, not even a lifetime. And yet, nobody has to tell you that sharing your faith and sharing what Jesus Christ means to you is a part of the Christian life. In fact, the truth is, that should be a way of life for us, talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, telling people what He's done for us, telling them what the Bible says about their need of Christ in their life. Whether you are preaching the gospel, whether you're going on a mission trip, doesn't make any difference where it is. All of us know that we have that command. But let me ask you a question. What have you told God is your reason for not taking the time to share your faith? Now, you will never question salvation. Nobody else is questioning your salvation. But for some reason, deep down inside, you've been able to rationalize away your responsibility to personally tell anybody about Christ. Well, the only thing you can conclude is that Satan has deceived you, and he succeeded at deceiving you if you can accept the fact that you can be an obedient child of God and not share your faith with somebody. You cannot be. It is impossible to be walking in the Spirit, obedient to God, and never share your faith, never tell anybody what Jesus Christ means to you, never confront anybody with the gospel, because that's what all of this is about. Now, the Apostle Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians, if you'll turn there for just a moment, what Paul is giving us in these five verses are the essentials to a fruitful witness. Now, listen to this passage. It's a powerful passage. Chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. Listen to what he said. Paul said, "And when I came to you, brethren, I did not come with superiority of speech or of wisdom proclaiming to you the testimony of God, for I determined in my heart to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling." You say, well, I can identify with that. "And my message and my preaching were not in persuasive words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not rest on the wisdom of men, but on the power of God." Now, Paul is reminding them of the Spirit in which he had spoken to them before, addressed them, fellowship with them, shared with them. In that passage, and oftentimes we want to limit that to preachers, but I want you to look at two things, because there are only two requirements, two real essentials to being an effective witness for God. And if I should ask you, how many of you know at least one person who's lost, and if they're not saved between now and the time they die, you know that they're going to hell. How have you so reasoned in your mind that you have no obligation to share what Jesus Christ means to you? And you say, well, I've never been trained. I don't know which method to use. Let's forget all the methods. Listen to what Paul says in this passage. You forget the methods now for a moment, and listen to what he says. There are two basic essentials that all of us need to share our faith effectively. That is, to share our faith in such a fashion that it will bring forth fruit. That is, there will be a change in somebody's life. Listen to what he says. First of all, there are two things. The right spirit. And what is the right spirit in which you and I to share our faith? And notice what he says. He says, "I didn't come to you with superiority of speech or of wisdom proclaiming to you the testimony of God." And then if you'll notice, he says in verse 3, "I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling." In fact, he says in verse 4, "My message and my preaching were not persuasive words of wisdom." Now, Paul is simply saying this. If you'll notice, he talks about verse 1. He says, proclaiming to you the testimony of God. All of us who are saved have a personal testimony. Your testimony may not be elaborate and as demonstrative of the power of God as someone else. You may have never been on drugs. You weren't an alcoholic. You didn't run around. You never have been in prison. In fact, You were saved when you were 16 or 18 or 21 or 25 years of age. You don't have any dramatic witness or testimony. So maybe one of your excuses is, well, what do I have to say? Well, before we get to what you have to say, let's talk about the spirit of it all. Because this is what Paul is saying. The whole import of this passage, the right spirit is always the first issue. I've seen some people share their faith and heard them share their faith and think, Lord, there is no way, there is no way you're going to be able to get the truth through this witness and see that person get on their knees and ask the Lord Jesus Christ into their life. You see, first of all is the spirit, and the spirit is humility. And notice how Paul describes his own attitude at this point. He says, when I came to you, brethren, I did not come with superiority of speech or of wisdom proclaiming to you the testimony of God. That is, you and I, when we share our faith, have to decide, first of all, we're not going to depend upon ourselves. That is, God does not expect us to go out and share our faith depending upon our own eloquence, our own ability, our own talents, our own gifts, or our persuasiveness, or any kind of tricks we've learned to manipulate people or to persuade them to make a decision in order for us to brag about how many people we've won to Christ or how many people have been saved. He said, I came to you in the spirit of fear and of trembling and weakness. And that doesn't sound like anything else Paul ever wrote when he talked about our boldness and our sufficiency in Christ. When you read this chapter there in Colossians, the second and third chapters, you don't find any weakness and any fear and any trembling, but you hear a man talking about his sufficiency in Christ, boldness and the power, the supernatural power of the Spirit of God working in his life. And all of a sudden he's talking about coming to them in weakness and fear and much trembling. What is he talking about? Is he talking about being afraid to share his faith? No. When he talks about fear and trembling and weakness, here's what he's thinking about. Paul is referring to his own sense of inadequacy. And you say, well, aren't we to have confidence when we share faith? We are. Confidence not in ourselves, but in Christ who is our sufficiency. Christ who is our life. And Paul says, I came to you in weakness. That is, I didn't come to you out of my strengths, but out of my weaknesses. And so Paul is saying here, on the one hand, I am very weak and extremely inadequate. But I know that Christ who is my life is my adequacy. And so he says to them in verse 4, and my message and my preaching were not in persuasive words of wisdom, but in demonstration of what? In demonstration of the Spirit and the power. Now I want you to remember this. It doesn't make any difference what you're doing. You can't ever, in the spirit of pride, present the gospel of Jesus Christ effectively. It just doesn't work. It's like it short circuits the power. And so Paul said, I came in weakness. When he said, I came in fear and trembling, what did he mean? Here's what he meant, and this is why you and I should do the same thing. Not fear that we're going to mess up. Not fear that we're going to make a mistake and not say the right thing. Not fear that we're going to be rejected by the other person. Not trembling because we're so nervous that we're afraid we won't greet the folks right or won't say the right thing or they won't understand us. You know what Paul was trembling over? Paul was trembling over the fact that when he finished giving them the gospel, they wouldn't receive it and they'd be lost. The fear and trembling of the possibility that having heard it, they wouldn't believe it. The fear and trembling that when he had shared the gospel of Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit, they may turn away from it and turn away from Christ. And you see, the preaching of the gospel and the sharing of the gospel with your friends, it's one thing to be sure to have your plan all down just right. Boy, I got the right scriptures, and here's my approach, and here's what I'm supposed to say here, and here's the question I'm supposed to ask there. There's nothing wrong with that, and we ought to have some kind of an approach. But what I want you to see, that primarily, above everything else, is my spirit. Because you see, if I'm more concerned about you being impressed about how fast I can find this verse, then I'm not really concerned about whether you die and go to hell or not. I'm concerned about your opinion of me, and that's pride, and God hates it, and that short circuits the message of the gospel. You see, if the reason you're not sharing your faith is because you say, well, I feel so inadequate, praise the Lord. Now remember, there are two kinds. There is an inadequacy that I feel because I don't feel capable Or there's an adequacy that I feel because my pride says, well, you know, I may just foul this thing up and say the wrong thing, and then what are they going to think about me? And then there's a holy inadequacy that God wants each one of us to sense in our spirit. Lord, unless you do it through your spirit, unless the Holy Spirit takes these feeble words of mine, unless he drives them home, unless he convicts them, God, it's all over. And you know, it's amazing. The fellow who sort of comes on, doesn't appear to know it all and makes a few mistakes and doesn't always use the right grammar and can't find the verse. And he has to say, wait a minute, I know it's in here. I have to find it. It is amazing how God uses them to transform somebody's life. And here's somebody who's got it all written down and all in their mind. They got it down by rote memory. And they're flipping here and showing that and demonstrating that and exercising their wisdom. And they sit there cold and dead as a cucumber. Because you know what? Even the lost man and woman is impressed by the spirit of humility. And that's why he says, what's required of us? To be brilliant? To be orators, to be wise, to be impressive? No, just to have a humble spirit. What does Paul say? He says, I was with you in weakness, fear, and in much trembling. And my message and my preaching were not in persuasive words of wisdom. That is, he said, I didn't couch my message so that I know that you would be fully persuaded to believe what I said. He says, but I came to you in the spirit of humility. And he says, this is all I wanted. When I finished, I wanted you to know that the Holy Spirit had worked. Listen, he says, in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not rest on the wisdom of men, but on the power of God. Listen, God only releases his Spirit through a spirit of humility. That's the only way he releases it. And Paul knew that if the Spirit of God didn't convict them to persuade them, it was all over. And so he says, I came not to demonstrate my wisdom, nor my eloquence, nor my persuasiveness in preaching, my logic and reason and rationale for the gospel. He said, I came to you totally inadequate myself, fully adequate in Christ, not to persuade you to believe me, but to persuade you to believe the message of the gospel of Christ. The first element that is essential to an effective witness is a humble spirit. That is, God, I don't know it all. In fact, Lord, there's a lot of things I don't know, and I'm probably going to make mistakes. But, Lord, now listen, here's the whole crux of whether you and I have the spirit of humility or not. Am I willing to go knowing that I may be rejected, I may be laughed at, may be mocked, may be criticized, but I'm willing to go, and no matter what happens, I'm going to share what Jesus Christ means to me. Now, if you can do that, you've conquered the problem of pride. But if you do not go, and if you will not share, and if you keep it to yourself, and you're mum in your office because you're afraid of what somebody's going to say or how they're going to respond, then, my friend, the old problem is pride. And you know what the problem is? I love me so much, I refuse to have me rejected by those who know me. Even if they die and go to hell, they'll just have to die and go to hell because I'm not going to have that awful, painful emotion of being rejected. You know why we don't share our faith? Our biggest problem is pride, not ignorance. The issue is, are you more concerned about someone's attitude and opinion about you and their rejection of you and their rejection of your approach and what you know and what you stand for? Are you more concerned about that than you are whether they die and go to hell or not? That can't be but one thing. That's pride. Two essentials. First one, right motive, or right attitude, right spirit. What's the spirit? Very simple. It's the spirit of humility. Not trying to impress anybody. Just want to get them saved. And the second one's very simple. That's the right message. Just two things. Listen to what Paul said. He says, for I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. You know, Paul was a great philosopher. He knew so much philosophy. He knew so many things about so many things. But you know what he said? He said, I only have one message. And is your reason for not sharing your faith with some folks because you say, well, suppose they bring up this subject, that, or the other. And you see, the truth is, it doesn't make a difference who you share your faith with. You don't have but one message. You don't have to get in the book and learn a whole lot of theology. You don't have to find out what other folks believe. Somebody says, well, I need to find out what everybody else believes. No, you don't. You just find out what you believe and be sure you believe it. Then no matter what they say, you just keep bringing them back to Jesus. Just keep bringing them back to Jesus. And you see, here's what Paul said. Paul said, I've decided that there's only one message, and that's Christ Jesus and Him crucified. So you don't have to worry about a plan. You just tell them that Jesus Christ is the Savior, Jesus Christ the Lord, Jesus Christ your life, and Jesus Christ has made you sufficient for all things because of your relationship to Him. And friend, that's the source of the whole gospel right there. The simple message of Jesus. Now, when he says the testimony of God, that's not only the testimony of what the Lord Jesus Christ has done in your life, but it's the testimony of Scripture. There's only one hope, only one way. And see, people say to me once in a while, but you know, if I tell somebody there's only one way, what are they going to say? What are they going to think? You're worried about being rejected. Paul said, I only have one message. That's Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Now, why in the world would a man as wise as the Apostle Paul, as brilliant as he was, listen, all these epistles that he wrote, he said, I only have one message. Now, he talked about love, he talked about sin, he talked about judgment, he talked about the coming of Christ, he talked about all the subjects that you can imagine. He said, I only have one message, Christ Jesus and Him crucified. Now, if you understand the message, what it means, that Jesus Christ died an atoning death at Calvary, and His death paid every man's sin debt in full. And when a person is willing to confess their sins and receive the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior by faith, God radically transforms their life in an instant, just like that. Now, one message for everybody. Could God have made it any simpler? You say, well, but suppose I run into so-and-so. Same message. But suppose they ask me this question. Same message. Christ Jesus and Him crucified. The fact that Jesus Christ is sufficient to meet every single need through His atoning death at Calvary, there's only one message. You don't ever have to be ashamed of it. You don't ever have to apologize for it. You can state it clearly, and no matter how they respond, you are doing the right thing and glorifying God. And I tell you, my friend, the reason we don't do it is pride. Fear of rejection, fear of criticism, fear of failure. That's all self-centered. When you have the message, the only message that'll transform anybody, anywhere, under any condition. I've witnessed the presidents and I've witnessed the people who walk the street. Same message for the president, same message for the guy who picks up beer cans on the street. Same message, makes no difference. You know why? Because every man's in the same condition. Everybody needs the same Christ. So what are the essentials for bearing a fruitful witness? Just two. The spirit of humility and the right message, Christ Jesus and Him crucified. It's that simple. Now, let me put it this way. I want to sort of just run this in a little deeper. God hates pride. And my friends, you can rationalize it all you want to. You got to deal with it. Pride is a sin against God. And if you look in the Bible and God talks about all the things He hates and He lists them, number one, a proud look. He said, oh, I don't look proud. Well, now you're talking about the mirror. What does the Bible say about how God looks? On the inward man. He knows if I'm prideful or not. And I want to ask you, are you willing to deal with the problem of pride hidden deep down inside, rationalized it, covered it up, camouflaged it, colored it real good, it's acceptable so far? You know, if you'll deal with that, you may be absolutely amazed at what God will do through your life in the next 7 days. But as long as you keep the barrier of pride there, He can't do it. Short circuits the power of God. Holy Spirit won't work out of a prideful heart. Doesn't make a difference what you say, what you do, it won't work. It is the spirit of humility. And that is, I'm willing to be laughed at, willing to fail, willing to be ridiculed, willing to be rejected in order to be obedient to Christ and to share the one message I know that'll change your life.
Thank you for listening to Essentials of a Fruitful Witness. If you'd like to know more about Charles Stanley or In Touch Ministries, stop by intouch.org. This podcast is a presentation of In Touch Ministries, Atlanta, Georgia.